Yesterday, three of our members of the youth...
bless his heart.
Not that guy. I don't know him. They went to a conference called Sharpen the Axe, and was basically a conference for youth leaders and to develop their skills. And for tonight, I've asked them if they would share something from what they've learnt. I feel that it's something that can always be beneficial for us, you know, to sharpen our axe. And essentially, that sharpen our axe is coming from, I want to say the Old Testament. I can't remember if it was Elijah or Elisha, but where they spoke about sharpening the axe. And I believe that it's going to be something that's going to bless our hearts tonight, and hopefully something that we can take away with us, and that we can apply to the ministries that we're involved in. So, Kirsty.
Good evening, everyone. Yesterday we went on this course, and I think it blessed all of us. We learned some really invaluable information that we really want to apply to the youth, but we want to share it with you as well in your personal ministry, even individual one-to-one leading people to God, because it's stuff that was great for us, and you probably already know it, but it's always nice to get told it in a different way. So we hope that you guys are blessed with what we have tonight. Sorry? Okay. Oh, to the side. Okay. I'll come back with this. Oh, okay. Okay, I'm just going to show you a video. The section that I am going to be touching on tonight is being real as a Christian and being real as a witness. So I'll show you this video now. That video probably seemed quite strange. And you might have heard some of the things that you say in it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think sometimes we get so stuck in our Christianese that we forget that sometimes we're ministering to people that have never heard that kind of a thing. People that don't understand where it's coming from. And sometimes it puts up guards because they hear us speaking this way and they're like, yo, these people are holier than thou, even though that's not our intention. So it's just a little bit of, I suppose, how we are and how we need to be real. And there's nothing wrong with being that way. But we really need to focus on, when we're ministering to people, being real, being authentic, that they actually believe that we are the person that we put forward. Are you guys all right? You all look very... Oh, yeah, it's on. I think it's warming up. And so I have to share this very quickly. So I got a scripture from Galatians 6, verse 1 to 6. It says, I think it's actually 1 to 5. Brothers and sisters, if someone in your group does something wrong, you who are spiritual should go to that person and gently help him right again. Be careful, because you may be tempted to sin. By helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that he is important when he really is not, he is only fooling himself. Each person should judge his own actions and not compare himself with others. So I think in order to be real with people, we have to be real with ourselves so that we know that we're being real with God, and so that our witness can be real to people. And I think that's hard. And sometimes people need you to relate to their situation. I can speak about an example in youth the one night. We were sitting in a group of girls. We had like a small group sort of thing. And I think Stacey and I shared a little bit of our own struggles in the week. And it's funny how the girls just opened up. They told us what was on their heart, what they were struggling with. And in that level, we could be real with them in our circumstances, and they could be real with us. So we could know what to pray for them about and what the needs in their lives were. But obviously being real also entails us living a life in church that is the same as outside. And I'm not saying that if you swear outside, you should swear in church. I'm just saying that we should live our life for Christ from the moment we wake up in the morning to the next morning when we wake up, not just when we walk in the church door. We shouldn't have to change our language or change our dress or watch our actions in church, especially just because we're in church, because it should be all through our lives, and that's part of being real. So I'd like to just close off my section with a very well-known scripture, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 to 16. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to the preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy, when the bodies of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And this really speaks about living a life that others can look upon and say, all right, that person is an authentic Christian, and that is what they want, like what lies ahead for me if I want to be a Christian. Especially highlighting that we should be an example, even if you're not young. I think that this applies to all of us, that we should be an example in our actions, our speech, our love, our faith, and our purity. Thank you.
Hello. How's everyone doing? The lights will come on when I stand here, so anyways. Okay, what I got out of the thing that we went to yesterday was running youth is pretty much like running a business. There's be planning, leading, organizing, controlling. Polk. Anyone study business? Josh, maybe. Okay, a vision and a mission statement is very important. It gives a church direction, and it gives you sort of an end goal. I think each year, a business will have a vision and a mission for its entire lifetime. But I think a church should set one per year. And at the end of the year, it should reach its vision and missions. I guess what I could say for our youth is pretty much we call inside out. Our name is our vision. From the church outside to the environment. So you could say our vision would be to love outside and bring people in. Missions would be probably things that you do to do it. I had a whole thing planned now. So basically, a church needs a good foundation. It needs a plan. It needs a good team to go forward. It just, in general, if you don't have a direction that you're going. I remember this one guy was telling me a story about when you're riding on a tractor, busy plowing the fields. It makes sort of lines. And you have to put a piece on the tractor and point it for something, keep going in that direction. If you keep looking back to see if it's going straight, you're going to wind off and wind off and wind off. So your lines will never be straight. So I think a vision is very important. And yeah, that's about it. I had 10 minutes, but I forgot half my stuff.
Sorry, I always have to have extra people and extra hands. All right, so as you guys have basically heard, we have to be real. We have to have a good foundation. But sometimes, yeah, great, we have that stuff. We have a foundation, we're going great. But what are we actually doing? We've got the foundation, we've got the vision and the mission, and we've been real, but what are we doing with it? Or we just think, cool, you guys, we're over here. People end up just saying, okay, what are you about? Okay. So we have, as people, have to remember that God gave us a command. And it's in Mark 1:17. We must go out and be fishers of men. He didn't say go out there and just say hi and bye. He said go out there and be fishers of men. I read this one thing that I really want to read to you guys. In many ways, it is very difficult for modern teenagers to live out their Christian faith that it was for those than for those living in the first century. While it's true that many young people in the Western world rarely, if ever, face imprisonment because of their convictions, it is also just as true that one characteristic of our era is the pervasive indifference of our even skepticism about all things religious. For far too many, Christianity has become little more than just another lane in the superhighway of life. And that is so true. One of the topics that they spoke about was the culture of today. We have a completely different culture than a few centuries ago. It's become technology-wise, it's, you know, everything. A teenager always has himself in their hands, and pretty much grown-ups as well. And, you know, unfortunately, we seem to think, just put the technology down. And often forcing teenagers or adults to just put the technology down, we miss them completely. I think we have to realize that we've got to embrace what culture we have now and work around that. We can't go out there and try and be like, you must turn to God, but put your phone away. Now I'm talking to you. You know, how are we going to really appeal to them in any way of bossing them around in a way? We've got to embrace that. We live in a different culture, and we've just got to just ask God for guidance in how we're going to approach them. One of the things this one man said was, he called us to be fishers of men. The greatest commandment that Jesus gave us is, we must go and make disciples. The greatest commandment is to love our neighbors. We fall short of these two commands because we are so consumed with me, myself, and I. That means we want our sermons to show how good we are and how good we can preach, etc. We have elevated ourselves to God status. Because we have compromised in our lives, we are portraying a watered-down sermon, a watered-down version of Jesus Christ. And I think that is so true sometimes. I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes we don't realize that we lift ourselves up. And when people in the world see us, they're like, oh, all they think about is themselves. It's, oh, I'm so good at this. But it's really not about that. It's about giving God glory and loving our neighbor. Even that teenager that irritates the heck out of you with their technology devices all the time. We got to love them and we got to spread the word to them. And we have to make disciples. Even if we use technology, even if we use different ways, it's going and spreading his love and spreading his word out there. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Dad, were you taking notes? I just think that it is encouraging to hear things like this. I mean, Chris, you spoke about being an authentic Christian. And I think that's something that often, especially in the from a teenager's perspective, but I think even beyond that age group, people can see when we're not being authentic. You can see when somebody's putting something on, and it very often puts people off of coming to church, and that's often the reason why people said, I won't go to church. It's almost like that one guy in that video is like, no, I don't do that kind of stuff. You know, I've heard people say to me growing up, no, I don't go to church. You know, I have my quiet times at home, but, you know, I don't do the church thing. And I think often a response like that comes directly from the fact that people are not authentic. You know, I always think of, there's a few people that I've met that have just become Christians and they've really discovered their love for Christ. And when you're around those people, it's just like that bubbling over kind of infects you. And it almost drives you to want to bring more people to Christ. And that is a really good example of authentic Christianity. That's what it makes us want to do. It makes us want to, you know, go to India and, you know, go to the weirdest places. No, not so much, Lindsay. But it will ask you to step out of your comfort zone. And I think I was also encouraged by what Anthony said about, you know, having a plan, having a vision. Hugely important. I think a person cannot say enough of how important it is. And yeah, I think embracing the culture of today is a huge part of who we are. We can't do church exactly the same as we did it 100 years ago, even 50 years ago, because our generation has changed. I was thinking, when I was in primary school, I don't think I even had a cell phone. My mom and dad had cell phones, I think. I can remember if I wanted to call my mom to come pick me up from a cricket practice that had been cancelled, I'd go to the like tiki box at reception and reverse call her. so I could get it to come pick me up. You know, if I look at, you know, primary school kids today will have a phone that's better than the one that I have. That's how they're growing up. I mean, we've just had in Gauteng a rollout of tablets in schools. I think the grade 8s are going to be like learning off tablets from school. I don't even own a tablet. I mean, it's scary, and this is a generation that we've got to deal with, and I think it's exciting to be in a generation that has the ability to be authentic and use something like technology to bring glory to God. So hopefully all of us would have taken something out of tonight. I think I definitely have. I'm going to close in prayer. So Father God, I want to thank you, Lord, that you're a good God, Lord, and that you, Lord, you have great plans for this church. Father God, I want to pray, Lord, that we can take what we've learned tonight, Lord, and Lord, I specifically want to ask, Lord, about being authentic Christians, Lord. You don't want us to be putting on a false face, Lord, bearing a false witness, Lord. You want us to be bearing a true witness of who Christ really is, Lord. And I think it's not the first time you've spoken to us this year about it, Lord, where we need to show a Christ that the disciples experienced, Lord, not a Christ that sometimes the world perceives us to be. So, Father God, I pray that you give us the boldness to stand and be Christ to the world. Lord, help us to hold fast to the vision of this church. And Father God, help us to maybe look at things differently if we need to from a technology point of view, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that in all things that we do, we will not reject anyone from receiving the love of Christ, but Lord, rather we'd be able to give the love of Christ the same way that Christ shared his love for us. So Father, I want to pray that you keep your hand of protection upon us, Lord. Keep us, Lord, within the shadow of your wings, Lord, but challenge us and help us to take leaps forward in you. Lord, let us see Christ in us becoming so much more prevalent, more on the surface, and not just something that we do on a Sunday or Wednesday or Friday when we're here, but something that we live, Lord, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I want to thank you for this now in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.